Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars, learning that Star-Lord with idiots.
Hello, and welcome to Star Wars Lore with Idiots, the show where a bunch of grown men think that holding a lightsaber with the pointy end faced first is proper procedure. With that, let's turn it over to our lore master, Ranger J1999, and the buffoons, Rambam001, Karth, and Kashmir.
Well, hello there, and welcome to another edition of Star Wars Lore with Idiots, the show where yours truly, Ranger J1999, tries to teach these three dumbasses Star Wars lore, and it goes horribly wrong. This is the show where we try to learn lore, and I try to teach these guys about the lore in the Star Wars verse, and we have a good time doing it. Let me introduce the idiots, as is tradition. First, right next to me on the top right on the screen, we've got looking very bald, a little shave action, a little haircut there. Look at that. All right.
Well, yeah, it was overdue. All right. Overdue.
All right. We got Big Cash joining us. What's going on, Cash?
Hey, how's it going?
And what are you drinking today, my friend?
Well, see, you yelled at me last week. So in anticipation of what I'm guessing is going to be the topic for this week, I'm drinking Breaker Bourbon. Now, this is from Bear with me. I'll get there. This is actually a California bourbon that has been aged a minimum of 5 years and is 90 proof.
And that ties in last week, how?
No, it'll tie into this week.
Uh-oh.
Into what the topic is this week.
You don't even know what the topic is this week.
Which what I'm guessing the topic is going to be. I'm pretty confident.
The stupidity begins immediately. All right, there we
Floods,
go.
Floods, drought.
Yeah.
Chaos ensuing.
Although in the Discord, you did show me that walking stick. I can't get that here, man. But if you find some.
I am going to find that.
Yeah, I have a walking stick for you, Ranger, that's completely not PG.
Yeah, but it's not the bourbon, so not what I was looking for. Yeah. I saw that. I was like.
Could derail this.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw that. I was like, no way. Yeah, so I definitely want some of that bourbon. If you find some, let me know. That cup of happiness down there on the bottom left is the Winland Cannoneer himself.
Carthus.
Yeah. It's West Coast for our friend.
Yeah, it's West Coast time. Yeah. I didn't do well with the daylight saving time.
No, right? Daylight savings? Jesus.
I need some powdered booger sugar for my coffee.
Is that what's in your coffee today? A little
God, my help.
Yeah.
We might get really excited at the end of this episode.
See him over there doing this. Come on, man. Finish the lore video. I'm hurting, baby. Can't you see? I'm hurting. And then last but not least, we've got I don't know how else to describe him other than he's a poltergeist. The one and only Elmer's Glue Rambam's here. Yes.
There's going on?
Yes, Rambam001, who did a fine job last week as the Lord Master, as we learned about Mace Windu. And you can check out all these episodes. So there's a couple ways you can check out this. And we're doing this in podcast form. So first, let me say this. We're doing cameras from now on YouTube. I was doing a whole bunch of editing with GIFs and funny memes and things of that nature. And then just talk with everybody, since we are going to be putting this in, and I'll get to the podcast stuff in a second. We were like, yeah, I just mainly listen. The GIFs are funny and everything else, but I don't really watch it. I'm like, okay, if that's the deal, we'll just do cameras from now on and you guys can see us. And then we'll do the lore video that way on YouTube. There is a playlist on YouTube, but I am happy to announce we crushed our Patreon goal. Why we got the lore video on Mace Windu from Ram last one. And we are pushing our way to our new Patreon goal at 1500. Kashmir is going to be the lore master, and we'll have to do a lore video on Grandmaster Yoda. And then if we get to 2000, here's the big one. We'll have the lovely, the very toy Desi. He's going to be the lore master for the Night Sister. She's going to be joining us for that as one of the idiots. Oh. It's really not an idiot, but hanging out with us. So there's some good Patreon goals, and that's what we do. And because we hit our Patreon goal, We are now in podcast form. We are now currently on Podbeam and Amazon. I'm trying to get Spotify and iTunes. Spotify says we have a site. It doesn't pull up when I do it, so I'm going to have to figure out what's going on with that. And then iTunes is just a nightmare. I don't know what the hell that's going on with iTunes, but eventually we will get them all on there, on those as well. And you guys can download and listen to this series on as a podcast, or you can just download and listen to it on YouTube. And it's appreciated if you do, you know, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the thumbs up, subscribe, but leave comments. We'd like feedback. I covered the lore in a general sense. We don't get into the minutiae of details with stuff, mainly because I have potato heads here I'm trying to teach, so I don't want to get their brains melted too much. I don't want to spend 5 hours covering subjects, so we just get into the general stuff. But if, you know, you want to add something to the video just for people's knowledge, you know, put it in the comments. It's totally fine. We appreciate that kind of stuff. The only thing, as we say, is don't be an ass clown, because I'll delete you. So I don't really give a crap. You can be constructive, just not be an asshole. So there you go. With that being said, as is tradition, I didn't ask, Ram, were you drinking anything today? I mean, you had quite a day yesterday. So, I mean, are you trying to get the hangover off by drinking some more stuff to get the hangover off?
Well, that's how that works, right?
Yeah.
You drink more so that you can feel less.
That's right.
And turn to feel more later on, right?
Yeah.
Just a little bit of bourbon with some Dr. Pepper.
Same here. I'm
trying to wake me up.
Yeah, keeping it simple, safe.
This time zone change was on top of the massive night last night that I had. It's the time zone change did not help.
Fridays alone for me are just rough. A lot of roughage. Ranger world on Friday nights. All right. So that being said, normally I allow these idiots to guess, but I there's no point. I'm going to give them.
What? I want to guess.
Oh God.
We need a guess.
Right.
I mean, I'm down to guess.
You want me to give you the quote?
Yeah, we need a quote.
Okay, and it's a very simple quote.
Oh.
There's no way we can mess this up.
Quote.
Oh, we're gonna.
There's no way we can mess this up.
No way. I have
not good... at all.
It's okay. Right, see if you can try to figure out with this quote what the subject might be today. All right, just really try it today, guys. All right, here we go.
All right, give it to me.
Quote, very simple. Nothing is impossible with the Force. So let that marinate for a minute. You can see nothing's happening in their brains. Rambam is thinking of other things right now. Kashmir, I think, stroked out, and then Clayton's still trying to get some liquid courage in him. All right, who do I want to go to first? You know, Kaz, you look like the most befuddled. What do you think the subject for today is?
I think we're going to go over the accounting practices.
You always say that, you're fired. Jedi. No, I'm cutting that off. You tried that. Now, you're going to have to give some to try again. That's you did that all right, before.
All right. I said it was going to involve the...
tie into the bourbon. How does it...
It's going to tie into the bourbon, and we're going to go over the harsh reality of when the Jedi are in nursing homes, so they're usually 90 or over, and how that works, and the abuse that they...
I like it.
No, that's wrong. Clayton, what do you think? After that?
Well, I think you left out part of the quote there. I think all gains are possible through the Force, is what you're trying to say, and we're going over the Qui-Gon Jinn bro code for the gym gains.
Well, you know, I do hit the gym a lot, but I don't follow the Qui-Gon gym bro code.
I mean,
listen, when I want to lift and do exercises, I don't care who it is. It can be a 90-year-old grandma. They're getting the hip check, you know? It's like, hey, I was here first. This is my machine. You know, I got pull-ups to do. What are you doing over here? And finally...
She's pulling up or pull-ups?
Yeah. Depends. And last but not least, Ram. What do you, give me your ridiculous answer, because I know you're not going to, you know, I already know. Just go ahead. And nothing Mace related, not even in the realm, not even the same universe. So
we've already done the video, so yeah. There's no
well,
way.
No, but he still likes to tie in bullshit with the Mace stuff. Well,
so number one, I this is two-part guess.
Just give me a damn answer. So, God damn it, man.
Get to the
Jesus.
Answer, okay? The first part is, can I get that question, can I get that used in a form of a sentence, please?
I was talking to stupid ass Rambam when I said nothing is impossible with the Force, stupid.
Okay. All right. So that leads me on. Okay. I think I know how I want to answer this, the second part. So, we gotta be talking. Okay. We gotta be talking about the differences between the alien species and the human species of male, and the reasons as to why the black males Jedi are typically better off and more well endowed.
What did I just say?
The other.
What did I just say? All right, you're done.
I'm just done.
I didn't want to hear the second part of this nonsense.
I was just asking.
I literally just said nothing in the Mace universe, and you tried.
Did I say Mace? Did anybody hear me say Mace?
I didn't hear the words.
I did not hear the words. So now you're stereotyping because Mace is black. Are you think I'm just talking about Mace? There's not another black Jedi.
Yes, because it's you.
That's fair. That's fair.
No, it's those cruel, are those fair. Are all stupid, wrong answers. The as is tradition, we're all now dumber for having listened to this segment. No, the answer is today we're going to be discussing force powers. So we've covered, like in our previous lore videos, we've gone over a general history of the force and or origins of the force and some of the concepts of the force, but we never got into the details of what you can do with the force. And there's a couple rules of thought on the force. So let me give you kind of like the overall thought of what force powers are. And they are manifestations of force sensitive beings' connection with the force. Different powers are taught from teachers, practitioners, you know, experienced people to their pupils. For example, the Jedi and the Sith, most are tied to affinity to the light side or dark side of the force. And they would pass that knowledge on to their students, their apprentices, whatever you want to call them. Some were easier to learn than others. Some required a deep connection to one side of the force or another. Tangible force abilities such as soothing others' emotions, moving objects, heightened senses, the ability to heighten your jump, run faster, etc., were tied to, related to, what's known as living force. Now, we've talked about the different aspects of the force. There's the cosmic force, you know, that universal force, and then there's living force, the force that is imbued between all living creatures, that allows Jedi, Sith, and not just Jedi and Sith. When we say the force, just force sensitive. Now, the Jedi and the Sith have developed the most powers and techniques that we know about, but there's like the Witches of Dathomir and, you know, other force sensitive beings, Rakata, you know, that delved into the force. But when we think about the force, just to keep it simple, you can kind of throw in whichever faction you like, but when you think about the force, it's the Jedi and the Sith, which originated from the Jedi, who out of anybody spent the most time studying it. And when they fractioned and became the Sith and the Jedi, they specifically focused on the light side and the dark side. And a lot of this is ambiguous. Like, a lot of these powers are tied to one or the other, but that's not really the case because it's the living force. You can do stuff with it. It's about what you use and how you use the force in manipulation, and what's your relationship to the force that designate you, whether you're light side or dark side. What are you using it for? For example, Plo Koon used force lightning, but he used it for defense, and he used it for purposes that were, you know, moral. But then if you think force lightning as a general practice, and we'll get to what it does, it was for killing or torture. You know, it wasn't something that and if you don't, you know what I mean, go watch Rand play the Old Republic with us, because he loves the force lightning even when he doesn't need to. Did you eat my sandwich? Like, damn, Rand, did you have to kill the guy? I mean,
it's not even about eating a sandwich. Like, I mean, how many times have I killed somebody with force lightning just for helping me out?
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. I'm so appreciative. I look forward to meeting you again.
Yeah. But like I said, the two biggest ones were the Jedi, who mainly focus on light side, and we're going to break down the different aspects of the light side and what their philosophy and stuff was on it, and then the dark side. And then I'm going to go over some of the force powers. So when I say force powers, just give me one, something you think is a force power. Kashmir, what do you think there, buddy?
Well, I was going to ask more. This is more of a question for Ram. Did you think of it more as force tickling? Like, you're going to tickle them? Like, hey, thank you.
No, Ram's an asshole. That would never be something he would do.
All right.
No, I kind of imagine it like, you know, where that game where you stick your finger in the hole and then it goes around and it just like shocks you randomly. Like, that's, I like that kind of torture. Like,
thank God you finished that thought.
Yeah, that's some good old fashioned Florida gamesmanship right there. Well, that's a good game right there in the South here. Oh my God.
Just shock you.
Oh my God. Clayton, what do you
Sometimes
think?
It does cause a shock though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on, Clayton, what do you got for me, brother? Force powers.
What do we got? We've got force drain, force lightning, force choke, force heal, force jump, force la 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 la. I'm trying to remember all my Jedi Academy days.
Yeah, look at
Clayton
coming in with the knowledge. Good God. Ram, listen
force
to this man.
Speed, force
we're gonna cover all those. Yeah, we're gonna cover all those today.
Oh God, there's just, I know there's only like four on each side, but now my brain's hurting.
Oh, whatever, there's way more. I'm not even going to cover all the force.
Oh, no, I'm talking about just the Jedi Academy stuff because it was simplistic then.
Ram, give me not force lightning as an ability.
Well, so, I mean, Clayton already mentioned like half the force powers and whatnot. And so, like, we all know the big ones, but I want to know more about force endowment.
It's actually not, it's not wrong. So there's different philosophies of the force. The Jedi kind of believe that it's like a relationship with the force, right? You use the force in a very spiritual way, very more defensive, more spiritual on the Jedi side. The Sith, the dark side was more about manipulation, enhancements, you know, power, aggression, those kind of things that they did. And as Papa Palp said, the dark side is in a pathway to many abilities that are unnatural. And we're going to see that because just from the religious, what they did with the dark side, the negative side of the force, as you will, they did a lot of bad things with it. So, yeah.
Just imagine Darth Talon getting with some men and just using like force endowment on her subjects. Like, can you just imagine, like
she wouldn't need to because she can just pick the best of the litter, man. She don't even have to dick around with that, man. How does that
I literally dick around.
Well, she could be like, yes, no, 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 yes, and just pick which one she wants. So
I wonder, so do the Zabrax, does the carpet match the drapes, you know, like does the dick match the horns on the head?
You're gonna have to do some research, Ram. I can't answer all these things for you. I'm just here.
You're
to
supposed to be the lore master. What are you teaching us?
Yeah, but I don't want to cover that subject right now.
Do we have to wait till we get to the Night Sisters? Because
hey, we're not gonna. Might... Yeah,
you guys. Yeah, Desi will probably be able to tell us.
Yeah, well, yeah. Ask that to Des and see what happens. All right, so let's
we
get
over force. Speaking of what Ram's talking about, we're gonna go over force thrust.
Ooh.
Force push. Yes. Okay. Moving on.
I don't know what. Is force push the same thing as force thrust?
Look, just go to YouPorn, look that up. You'll be fine. All right. so we're going to start with the Jedi and the powers of the light side.
I'll be right back. I'm going online to another site.
I could turn my camera off for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that. It's gross. It's being gross.
Going incognito.
So the Jedi classified the force in kind of like three categories, different phases that a Padawan, as they got to master, would have to go through. And the three categories themes that they covered were control, sense, and alter. Now the first one is control. And control always is to open a Jedi's mind to the force and establish a base point for further development. It focused the force and centered on one's own self of mind and body. The three main abilities centered around control. And I'm going to butcher a lot of these pronunciations because, my God, the way who came up with these names? Tutaminus is energy absorption. Curato salva is healing oneself. And altus sopor, which is increasing one's focus on the force. Now, after you started with control, you would practice learning control. The next step in a Jedi's progression would be the second one, which is sense. And as was next taught and developed to broaden the scope of their control abilities and to get a deeper understanding of the force. Sense abilities allowed force wielders in the Jedi Order to immerse oneself in one's surroundings. There are four main aspects groups that the Jedi focused on in the light side is Prima Vita, Life Detection, Tactus Otium, Sense Force, High Vordrax, Postcognition, and then the last one didn't really have a name, but it is projected telepathy. And the last thing that the Jedi focus on, this is the advanced stuff. You've learned control, you've learned sense, and the abilities that surround it. And Jedi would focus on different ones in there. They would be more tuned to, you know, through their development of which one those they were better at. But it all led to Alter. And the last discipline kind of area that was developed, this was considered the advanced form of the Jedi and their learning of the Force. And it was taught to Jedi who had mastered the first two. And this was Alter was something that allowed you to be able to manipulate objects, influence other beings, and affect the environment. The key aspect groups of Alter was telekinesis, which is the ability to move things with your mind, you know, that kind of thing, affect mind, and then alter environment. So when you think about the Jedi, you can see that their philosophy and how it is. It starts from the inside, and then it grows from the inside out. Kind of very Zen, you know, kind of Japanese Buddhist, you know, samurai kind of thing, where you start with yourself, and then you expand from yourself outward, you know, with your abilities and stuff. So we're going to, as we always do in these videos, cover a little portion of something, and then we open it up to questions, as you've already seen. So questions so far from the morons.
Do we think Darth Talon chose people that had the control?
That was your question.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Any questions about that aspect of the light side of the Jedi?
I really liked your description of Alter, because like it starts from within and then, you know, kind of propels itself outwards.
I mean, if you guys just want to talk about porn, I can stop covering this subject and we can just do that. I mean, quit pussyfooting around, man. Man up. I mean, we can do that. I mean, we're drinking bourbon. I mean, I could just stop now and we could just you know, why beat around the bush?
But they should have last night. That probably would change the conversation.
What if they don't have a bush, though? How are you going to beat around the bush?
Called a eunuch, and we're not covering that today.
Okay.
All right. Any questions or thoughts here, Clayton, non-related to
non-related
pornography?
Well, I mean, it narrows it down to like one, but I think I've got a decent question here. So the Jedi were all about controlling themselves,
right?
And then they would build outward from there. Did the Sith have a different approach to how they did it? Were they more about controlling the environment and then going like trying to zen themselves, or were just like, I don't care about myself, I want unlimited power?
Well, the Sith were the most dominant Sith through just because of who they were, had control, but it was not something that was taught. The Sith were ruled by their emotions and their passion. So, you know, it's not a lot of control there. You know, those, you know, you want unlimited power. You're not trying to control your unlimited power, you know? So, yeah. And we're going to get into that, because a lot of this, the Sith philosophy, there's stuff that goes into the ancient Sith and through, but most of the Sith stuff we're going to get into is basically directed through Darth Bane accumulating all that knowledge he had, because he got holocrons from Darth Revan, and that's how he came up with the rule of two. But a lot of the philosophy and teachings of the Sith, all the way up to Palpatine onward, were from him. So so let's get into that. So the Sith and most of the and their philosophy, their use of the Force, comes from the ancient Sith, but it comes from the teachings of Darth Bane. Now again, a lot of this, guys, is legends. Some of it's canon, some of it's legends. So when you're doing a lore stuff, you got to kind of cover both. I just kind of making an amalgamation of everything. As we just said, is the creator of the rule of two. There are other aspects we're going to cover, but those all basically are through the history of the Sith. That their use of the dark side, their powers grew from the ancient Sith. All the battles, the different Sith through time that developed certain points of this. But the main way of the philosophy of the dark side and abilities you use came from Darth Bane's teachings that Sith followed after that. So the first is offense. So you can see a big difference already between the Jedi and the Sith and the use of their powers. The Jedi's first thing is control. You didn't hear anything about offense in any of that stuff. And offense, which focuses on an immediate application, applicable techniques that require little exertion and making them perfect for lightsaber skills. So the first thing Sith learned to do was fight. They learned lightsaber skills. And on top of that, they would throw in these skills that they were taught that didn't take much in the Force, very little exertion, and they would add it to the repertoire. If you see Sith fighting in all the shows and stuff, they do this kind of stuff where, for instance, they use inertia, blind, push, choke, throw. So they would learn all these at the same time as they're learning their lightsaber forms because, again, offense. I'm going to beat you, and I will do whatever it takes and use all these powers to do so. So Jedi, yeah.
Offense, offense.
What's that's best? Offense. So that's their first, again, you can see the difference in philosophy. So the next was body, which drew from the living Force and it's to use one's own cells to physically affect themselves or another being. At the possible cost of their own body taking damage. Some techniques, skills from this are lightning, convection, kinesis, drain life, death field. You know, a lot of those things you see the Sith do, that's from development of their body into techniques that they could use outwardly to do damage, but they would take damage themselves possibly by using these abilities. So they would bring through their own body so that they could do this stuff. But this is, even if they did, it's all about damaging the other foe and even it costs you damage. And you can do significant damage with these, with all these abilities. So that's the second step that the Sith would go through. And the last one is mind, which was the focus of drawing from the Force to act upon thought and memory instead of the physical realm of the body. It required intense concentration and physical strength. Some abilities that were associated with this were hatred, horror, memory walk, mind shard, crucitor. And these were all abilities that were outside the realm of the body. So the Sith were known for these abilities as well. Illusion. You know, we talked about the Sith in the ancient days using illusion and stuff as part of their repertoire and stuff. So that's another thing. So you can see the contrast here. The Sith are using the Force to use all this manipulation to make themselves stronger and to be able to do all these offensive things and do stuff. The Jedi were more spiritual with the Force. Again, less manipulation, more being one with the Force to do things, be aware of one's surroundings. Very defensive, very Zen. Sith, very much, the opposite of that. So, and this all ties into the dark side.
Sith were much more about domination, and Jedi philosophy was much more about nurturing.
Yes, very, very much so. And the last thing that's really important you got to talk about with Force powers, and we'll get into specifics, but the big one for the Sith. The Jedi didn't have this stuff. The Sith did. And that is Sith magic, alchemy, rituals. I kind of tie these all in together. This originated, we talked about this, with the original Sith species, and it evolved to include incantations and rituals to imbue objects or oneself with dark side powers, abilities. Some of the powers, examples that you could do with this. So you could imbue an object with like a spirit or more dark side energy, or make it to where it could do something, or you can use it to a ritual itself to bring something or cause something to happen. So, for instance, Suta Chutuska was the bolt of hatred. Odaginia was the dark side web. Kantuska was the suppressed thought. Duan Sunqua was to summon a demon. Hoyokut was to reanimate the dead. We talked about the rituals that in our previous video that Vitiate did to, he could drain life, but then he came up with a ritual in the dark side to basically drain an entire planet of its life. These are just some of the things that they would do with rituals that were developed by the Sith to be able to do these really unnatural things. We just talked about a reanimate the dead, for instance, that they could do with the dark side through rituals, focusing the dark side into objects and or rites, rituals, to perform something to either empower themselves or an object, or to create something unnatural through the force to do whatever they wanted to do. So does that help you guys understand what the Sith sorcery, you know, like for instance, we talk about the Sith swords, the ancient Sith swords, they were blades, but they were hard enough to cut through anything and could block a lightsaber. Why? Because they would use the dark side energy in a ritual to strengthen the sword to where it could not be shattered. So those are just examples, some of the stuff they could do with the dark side with the rituals and sorcery and magic that they could do. And, you know, and the other stuff, like they create illusions, or they could do all kinds of stuff. There was no limits to this. I'm just giving you some examples of what they could do with these rituals and stuff. All right, so that's the dark side and some of the stuff there. What are your guys' questions on this? Kashmir, you are really looking like your brain melted over there.
It's not more of a comment, but I do like how they can get relax.
Your last two dealt with porn. I'm worried.
No, I was gonna say I like how they can get so pissed off that they can save themselves, and like, you know, like Maul gets cut in half, and he just so has such hatred that he can, you know, kind of. Or will Scion. Himself to live.
Yeah.
Literally glued together by the force.
Yeah, like, you know, Anakin gets everything, like, you know, four limbs chopped off, and he's just so pissed off at Kenobi that he's able to survive.
Yeah, their passion gives, you know, the Sith code, passion gives me strength. So the more something they feel, the stronger the dark side, you know, allows them to do things. So absolutely. Ram? Questions, thoughts?
So what I'm seeing is that Jedi more defensive, more about, you know, controlling their you know, inner selves and being at inner peace and zen and all that boring stuff.
Selflessness is what you would think of the Jedi.
Sure. And so the Sith being the opposite of that means they're very physical and very domination and whatnot. So what you're saying is that...
I knew it. Go ahead, Ray. You can't even say it. You're such a dumbass.
What you're saying is essentially...
Here comes a troll.
The best people to have in bed would be the Sith.
Sure. Let's go with that.
This is why they have people like Talon.
I feel like that'd be a very Prey Mantis situation where she's going to eat me literally after this act is over.
There's nothing wrong with the good nibbling, though.
The sex will be great, but afterwards she's going to cut me in half.
I don't want to lose my head.
Yeah, I don't want to die. I don't want to be tortured to death, you know, because that's their kink. You know, it's like, you're a great sexual partner, but now I have to pour acid over you. What? Wait, why can't I move? Why are you choking me?
No, like all seriousness, though, like, actually be serious, this would explain why, especially in like Old Republic era, the Sith were just better than the Jedi
in
terms of like fighting. Like every time that we saw a video or did a battle or whatever, it always seemed like the Sith always had the upper edge just because they're more trained on offense, whereas the Jedi are like, no, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight, but I'll fight if I have to, but I don't want to.
Yeah, because the Jedi's mandate was to protect and, you know, try to resolve stuff. I mean, the last thing they want to do is pull out their lightsaber. But if they did, it was, sure. If you look at the forms, they could be offensive, but it wasn't, you know, it was more about protect, defend, you know, I mean, it wasn't about, you know, whipping out your lightsaber like a Sith and go around cutting people's heads off. You know, that's what they weren't going to do. They were going to use their lightsaber to... Taking life was the last thing a Jedi would want to do. But Sith, they didn't have any compunction. They weren't limited by that. I mean, the Sith, you know, they were like, okay, lightsaber, how can I become even more deadly with this thing? The Jedi were like, how can I use this to, you know, protect others and protect, you know, the people around me kind of thing. It's just a different philosophy.
Well, and it goes to show you, though, with a lot of the differences between the two is the reason why the Sith typically had more. So this is the case in like every situation where the Jedi and Sith engage is the Jedi always start with one foot back because they have been pacifists, which is not a bad thing, but they don't do more in combat besides training in an environment where there's it's not life and death, right? Where the Sith, their training is life and death because yeah, the only way, yeah, that's part of their training. Their training, I mean, you look at Grievous, like if you go to the old school Star Wars cartoon from Cartoon Network back in the day, watching Grievous train Asajj. No, sorry, watching Dooku train Asajj and Grievous, he was trying to kill him. Like, he didn't give a care. But then you watch those characters engage later versus the Jedi, and the reason why they always outperform is that they take it way more seriously. But then as the war goes on, Asajj becomes less useful because her aggressive tactics, they now are, they've been used to it now. They're conditioned. They're ready to fight. And I think you see a lot in the difference in the mentality is that the Sith always have the upper hand out the rip. But the longer you engage with the Jedi, the more that they will come back and be there better, because the problem with fighting with through emotion is that you get easily baited and overcommitted to situations where a leveler head would go, no, this battle's trashed. My pride's not on the line here. I'm dipping. You're going to pull the Grievous and go, droids, go get them. I'm leaving.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, the Jedi were exceptional lightsaber, but it just, it sits just contrary a little bit more. But yeah, if you look through all the wars, Sith would get the upper hand. And then the Jedi would come in, and then, you know, and once someone, and
the Sith were really good for short-term assaults because of the high offense, but then the Jedi over long term
would just
destroy them because the Jedi were patient.
And it's individual prowess when we talk about this stuff, because everybody has different affinities for different powers. And the more, as we get into these powers, this is just the base of these powers. But you can expand upon it and do greater things with it, depending on what your connection to the Force is. So the more powerful your connection to the Force was, the more you could do absurd things with it. I mean, the Force, there's no limitation. There's, as the quote says, there's nothing impossible with the Force. You know, it's just what you can do with it, what your limitations are, what limitations you put on yourself, really. I mean, that's why you train using your powers over and over again. Some people, like, I think it was in the books, Cornhorn, he had no telekinetic ability whatsoever, but he was stronger than other things. You know, he just couldn't, it just wasn't something that he could do. So everybody had a specific thing. Now, some were just ridiculous. If you look at some of the most powerful people like Darth Revan or Vishyad or Grandmaster Yoda, I mean, these high level practitioners that mastered all forms of lightsaber combat, but could do all kinds of nonsense in the Force, is because of their connection to the Force. They were next level. We talk about the Celestials. I mean, the Celestials, my God, look at the stuff they just, I mean, you talk about the Celestials, they use the Force to create solar systems. You know, I mean, like, I'm going to move this planet here with the Force, and then I'm going to create a sun here, and then we'll create this planet here out of the Force. And I mean, that's the stuff you can do with the Force at that level. But most people, you know, humanoids, depends on the level. So when I mention these powers, which we're going to get into, you have to think about the level of the person using that ability and what's their, you know, the more powerful they are, the more outrageous they could be with it. So, for instance, when we talk about telepathy, this is our first one. Every Jedi Sith could use this ability, all right? And it's an ability to read and interact with others' minds, mentally communicate and project thoughts over small or large distances with other individuals. And this could be expanded upon. Some people were so strong in the Force, they could talk throughout the galaxy. That's how powerful they were with telepathy. Some could, you know, we talked about battle meditation in the Revan episode, you know, or not Reva, but Nomi Sunrider, her ability with battle meditation. And then later on in the Legends books, Anakin Solo with Jacen and Jaina Solo, you know, the ability to link everybody's minds so you could fight as one in a battle. On the basic level, it's like, I'm just looking at you, and instead of talking with my mouth, we're just communicating. Maybe you're strong enough on a planet, you can talk across a planet. Maybe you can talk between solar system. But if you're powerful enough, you could talk throughout the galaxy. You know, you see Jedi all the time, like they get a sense of, you know, feeling, you know, in the Force. They feel something, like their master says something. Maybe it's not strong. That's what telepathy does. You can communicate.
Kind of like Yoda with Order 66.
Yeah, I mean, he felt it in the Force, but I mean, if Yoda wanted to, he could communicate telepathically with folks. So
you guys are missing the big one in the room with that. You know, the Raylo. Come on.
So moving on.
The next one we're going to cover is Mind Tricked Effect Mind. This ability to use the Force to manipulate the behavior and perceptions of weak-minded beings. It utilized a combination of receptive empathy, projected empathy, and hypnosis to either block senses or stop the understanding of what's really happening.
So and, not the droids you're looking for.
Yes. That's the famous line where, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi uses the Jedi mind trick. But it really gets into more of the stuff that we talked about with illusions that the Sith did, you know, to alter one's reality or perception. Vishyat was so powerful in the Force that he could actually use this to alter reality. This is where he could make it seem like you were in some other place when you really weren't, you know, this whole landscape of felt real, like you're in the Matrix kind of thing. But on the basic level, it's to, you know, just wipe your hand or do something like, you know, Republic credits will be fine. No, they won't. But that's kind of the concept. You affect someone's mind, their perception, their reality. So you can make them do or forget or, you know, whatever it is you need them to do. You're my enemy, but they're like, oh yeah, you're my best friend, yeah, come on in, you know, yeah, drink my wine, I don't care, because that's the way their perception's been altered by you and the Force. Any questions on that one?
Would that be like Palpatine giving visions to Anakin of
that's more telepathy? That's just, yeah, that's not, again, you got to think weak-minded. Right. So, and in some species that just didn't work because just the way their minds were, that just the way they were, you couldn't alter their perception or reality. So,
who do they do that to in the Clone Wars episode? Now my brain's racking. It's Mace, Anakin, and Kenobi interrogate somebody. And all three of them do it. And like
all
the
three
risk
of them, yes.
And the risk was is that if they did it, they needed to do it because they needed the information, but if they did it, they like, the effect against someone who's strong-willed was like, you shatter their mind to get the information you wanted.
Yeah.
Because like, you could do it to it, like, you could do it to the ninth level, but you would like, run the risk of destroying the person in the process. It wasn't like, yeah, give me the information I want. It's like, no, I'm going to ransack your mind and leave the mess.
Well, the more you try to go against someone's will, the more damage you could do. Like, there's a scene where Kenobi, where the guy comes up and says, hey, you want to buy some death sticks? You don't want to sell me death sticks.
Yeah.
I don't want to sell you death sticks. You want to go home and rethink your life. I mean, that's simple mind trick 101. But yeah, that's the advanced stuff where it's like, okay, now I have individuals that don't want to give up the information, so we're going to cause some damage if we do. So yeah, right. Of course, if it was a Sith, like, you know, Kylo Ren with, you know, Poe, he wants the information, same thing with Rey, and he's going to get that information. This is that kind of thing too, affect the mind,
yeah,
you know, try to pull that information out. So yeah. All right, the next one is telekinesis. Pretty self-explanatory, but it's basically a manipulation in the Force to control objects through and in space. Depending on one's connection to the Force, one can move small objects, the smallest thing, or depending on how powerful they were, like Starkiller, as large as a Star Destroyer, or as some of the ones we've mentioned before, whole planets or systems. So this is the
ability. Obi-Wan with the boulders.
Yeah, so the stronger your connection with the Force, even just in general, but at that moment, because there are times throughout the history of Star Wars where the Force is acting in you and you could be more powerful than you were previously for that moment, and do stuff that you normally couldn't do again. But your typical connection, like Anakin and Padme when they're having breakfast and he holds up the fruit and he brings it to her, right? That's simple telekinesis. But then when you see Starkiller bring down a whole Star Destroyer, that's a little bit more advanced, you know. That's the ability that you can use with telekinesis. Any questions? It's pretty straightforward. I don't think there's a lot of questions on that one. Of course, we have all the big ones here. Force leap, pretty simple. Anybody then the Force can use it. It's just basically when you see Jedi fall or jump, depending on the height and how powerful they were in the Force, they could enhance their abilities, you know, to be able to leap large distances. This is mainly used to either escape or it could be used to close distance. So yeah, or to get over hurdles and stuff. Like you saw that one scene when Quinlan Voss and Kenobi are fighting Cad Bane in the Clone Wars. You see them leaping like Spider-Man all over the place. They're using Force Leap there. Pretty straightforward.
So or that's not close. Anakin, when he tried to leap over Obi-Wan.
Well, he, yeah.
He tried.
He tried.
He failed.
High ground, Anakin. Another one that's enhanced, your enhanced body one, is Burst of Speed. Pretty simple. Use the Force to move at high velocity with high speed reflexes. Those can be used in two ways. You can use it to literally run and just like vanish instantly out of somewhere, or you can use it to enhance your movement with a lightsaber or you're fighting, that kind of stuff.
What I still don't understand is how do we have Force Speed that we see in Episode 1 in Phantom Menace, but then we don't see it anywhere else?
It's in, it's in the books and the legends a lot. It's like kind of understood. When you read the books, they do that. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Naomi Sunrider or... Yeah, she had Force Speed. She would just, when she got on the battlefield... I can't remember if it was her or somebody else, but they would literally whip out their lightsaber and just like the Flash through a battlefield and just cut everybody down before they even knew what the hell happened. You know?
Right, like Mace used it in the Clone Wars, the old comic series,
yeah,
or the old show.
Network, in there.
Yeah. So like it's a cool ass ability. It's just it didn't get used nearly as much as you would think it should get used because it provides a pretty strategic advantage.
Well, and most of the Jedi would, you know, they would use it to escape if they needed to, or they would use it in battle. But a lot of times Jedi and Sith would use that to enhance their reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd see it there. Yeah. And then tying back into, you know, this real quick, I'll let you go, Cash. Force push, force pull, that's telekinesis, but that's just using the force to throw somebody or pull them to you. And that's another telekinetic thing that you could use with the force.
Just somebody. It could be an object.
It could be anything.
You see it all the time where there's a lightsaber on the ground and they force pull it to them.
Well, you saw it with the Dooku Yoda battle where he would grab something and throw it at Yoda and then Yoda would grab it and then hold it and then push it away, you know, that kind of thing. So that's an example of first force pull and force push. But Kaz, you wanted to say something, buddy?
Yeah, so actually I think, pretty sure, in the Palpatine Mace fight, that they were actually, I mean, obviously they couldn't show it on screen because no one would see anything, but they were actually using force speed. That's why the other Jedi died so fast, because they couldn't keep up with Sidious, but Mace could.
Well, I think in the books when they describe it, that he was just like a flash, like just he was so fast they couldn't keep up with him. So that was
in the Revenge of the Sith novelization.
Yeah. That's why he saw the Jedi just go down, and then it was just Mace.
Like even someone as skilled as Kit Fisto went down.
Yes.
Insanely fast.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're gonna get into some other cool aspects that you can do with the Force. Force healing trance. This is using the force to heal damage to oneself or repair the damage of others, ease pain, or cure various afflictions. You could use the force on yourself and others to, like if someone's poisoned, you could use the force to either get the poison out or stop it from doing what it's doing, a disease, you know, temporarily. There was a great novelization. I can't remember what it was. It's when the Clone Wars was going out. There was a book about the medical corps, and I think it was either Ayla or Barriss that were there, and they were assigned to this medical group, and they were using the force to help heal the clones that were injured in battle, you know, during surgery and stuff like that. So they could actually repair the damage. Basically, it's using the force. You force the cells at a microscopic level. You make the body heal itself to an extent. There were some things, depending on how strong you were with the force, some people were, I don't remember her name. She was Amon Calamari in the Legends book. She was actually Leia's teacher. She was a huge force healer. There's not much this Jedi Master couldn't do. And she was able to heal most things through the force. There's a cost. You're exhausted afterwards when you use something like force healing. And then you can use it on somebody else, or you can use it on yourself. So if you get hurt, you know, afterwards, you can see a lot of Jedi will go in a trance. They're healing themselves. They're using the force to repair the damage if it's not catastrophic.
Yeah, usually if it's like it's cellular stuff, like if it's a flesh wound or whatever else, they can repair stuff. But like they couldn't, like you had to be like next level healer to be able to like to repair like organs and bones and stuff like that. So like blaster burns or like or necrotic damage you could do, or you could slow the poisoning or whatever else, the metabolism rate, stuff like that. But yeah, to do major stuff you had to be like gifted.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. Force camouflage, this one's a cool one. Using the force to manipulate one's surroundings through light and sound to make one meld and become one with their surroundings, making them seem invisible. There's quite a few Sith and Jedi that had this ability that they would use. It was great for those Jedi and Sith, you know, both for recon, but also for assassination, infiltration, that kind of thing. Those that had this ability could sneak in. There's a great scene where the Night Sisters use this to go after Dooku and the clone series. They using force camouflage. They're invisible. They come in, they're visible attackers. So they could use the force to do that. It took a lot of concentration. So you were using a lot of the force when you were doing this because you're basically making your entire body seem like one with your surroundings. Pretty badass stuff. So any questions so far on any of these abilities? We've got a few more to cover. But I think they're pretty straightforward. Again, we're not going to cover every force power. It just gives you a sense of the different powers you could use in the force. There's way more and on epic levels, but this just gives you a good basis for like some of the things that you could do with the force, but there's no limitations with the force, you know? So
my only question / statement is more or less along the lines of like, there were force, like the video games give you a bad idea of the force powers because you're allowed to learn everything and master it, which in reality that wasn't a thing. There were base force powers that everyone was taught,
yeah,
but like you had affinities for that. Like Cal Kest is a good example. He had the force echo ability, which is kind of the ability to touch something and get a glimpse of the past of that item or whatever else.
Yeah,
Force Echo and the Force Slow.
There's also another one. It was something I read. It's about objects just in general. Like it was called something else, but you can touch an object and learn about it.
Well, that wasn't that Quinlan Voss had that same ability too.
Yeah, Quinlan Voss had it. Yeah, he could touch something and get a sense of the force of all kinds of stuff. I can't remember what it's called. I've got the Jedi versus Sith book over there, but
I mean, there were Jedi had specific like imbued traits in them that let them capitalize on certain abilities, but like not everybody could run around and be like, I've mastered 300 light force abilities and there's no problem, I just go around and kill everything. I'm like, no, video games give you the wrong idea of how you can master force powers. There was a tax, like you said, with the healing. There is a tax on the individual for healing depending on the length that they have or how much they have to do.
Yeah.
So like they're not just like, all right, well, let me just revive you real quick and back to battle. It's like, no, let me revive you real quick and I'm gonna need a week off.
Yeah. Yeah. And that gets into our next ability. Force lightning is an ability which charges electrical energy from the wielder's hand and was capable of killing or inflicting severe pain on the target, as well as possibly disfigurement or even disintegration, depending on the level of the user and the lightning that they were using. Now, force lightning is one of those things like force healing. Force healing, you're healing yourself or someone else. Force lightning is damage. It's just straight up damage. And the thing, it could do significant damage to the other person, but it could also significantly damage you as well. So it's one of those things, it's a trade-off. You can use force lightning, but it's going to affect you as well as harm the other person. So again, when you use force lightning, it's kind of like force healing, depending on your level with your connection with the force. You're like, well, I just disintegrated five guys, I need a nap for about a week, you know. So
we saw people like Darth Revan, you saw people Palpatine, Dooku obviously, and you also see Plo Koon using force lightning. So
this is a thing. So, and he called it something else,
force judgment.
All these abilities you can use in the force, it's just what you use them for, you know? So, you know, an ability is not in itself evil, right? This is just stuff you could do with the force. It's what you did with it in the force that made it evil and what it would manifest itself into based off what your intentions were. If my intentions are like Plo Koon and I'm trying to protect a child from being murdered, that's going to be different, and it looks different. The force lightning that he did was a different color
Yeah, it was yellow.
Yeah, and it had a different effect than, say, Palpatine's, which was like purple and nasty and, you know, just, you know,
yeah,
destructive.
There's so the thing with lightning and then a lot of these other force powers is it's kind of funny how they reverse engineered the stuff that came before it with the lore from what came after, because the big part of like the force is ambiguous, right? Is came from the Jedi Knight series with Kyle Katarn, because that was the whole thing with Luke and Kyle training Jedi. It's not what you use, it's how you use it. That's 100% was their philosophy. They didn't want to restrict, because some Jedi had natural powers that were more dark side scale, but you know, you shut somebody off from something they're naturally attuned to, all you do is create a bigger gravitational pull towards it. And so it's funny how they come back and they're redoing this stuff throughout like the Clone Wars era and stuff that came before it. Like, you know, we actually had different things for these things, and these things actually weren't so bad. So it's kind of fun to see how they played that coming back around, because that was the thing that the Jedi of the Republic era suffered from, was creating the taboo list, things you cannot do, period, no matter what. It's like, yeah, but if I naturally have affinity to create force lightning, like, why should I be restricted from using it?
Yeah.
So, anyways, I found that interesting.
Yeah, it is. It very is. Shattered Point is the next one we're going to cover. It was a force power phenomenon which allowed the user to perceive fault lines of different pathways of actions, to see faults. And I mean by faults, I mean like, faults, when you think about a fault line, it's a line that leads to gives you a certain pathway through the force of an event or person, so you can take advantage of that. And you're more powerful force users. We always think about it with Mace, but your more powerful force users had Shatter Point. It allowed them to see
a variation of it, yeah.
Yeah. It allowed them to see a path to overcome their opponent. Now, that wasn't always the case, because we had two powerful force users that both had Shatterpoint. You know, it came down to just something else, because Shatterpoint for both of them would give them both, you know, different ways to go to win or manipulate the situation. It was if they could take advantage of it at that point, right? So that's the thing about Shatterpoint. But if you have Shatterpoint and your opponent doesn't, then you're going to see pathways through the faults to, you know, overcome the situation at hand. So it's a very powerful ability, and only the most powerful had it. Mace, Yoda, Sidious, you know, those, that's the kind of level of a force user that could use Shatterpoint. And Shatterpoint would happen sometimes to Jedi and Sith that didn't have Shatterpoint, because for whatever reason in that moment they were so tuned to the force, it would just manifest itself. And it would seem like time slowed down for a moment, and they'd be like, what's happening? Oh, I can hit my opponent here. Well, that's weird. I'll just take advantage of that, not realizing that it was Shatterpoint. You know,
I wonder if Luke had that.
Most likely, I would say yes, Luke, because in the Legends book was ridiculous.
Oh yeah, in Legends, absolutely. But like in canon, I wonder if he.
I don't know.
I don't know if he would have that during Return of the Jedi, but I imagine
how
after
about during Return of the Jedi, but afterwards.
Afterwards, yeah. When he's building his school and all that stuff.
When he was fighting the Vong and Abeloth, of course he had it, because he was ridiculous. I mean, the stuff Luke did in those novels was like next level. I'm almost guaranteed Mary Jade had it. You know, so yeah. Another ability is Force Storm. This is a cool one. And it's basically a combination of two abilities, Force Whirlwind, which is you just use the force to create wind and stuff around you, to create, throw objects around you, kind of like this barrier, and Lightning. So you basically, what you do is you create what's akin to a dry tropical storm by manipulating the atmosphere around you or a planet to cause a frenzy, which could be catastrophic. I mean, Vitiate was so powerful, and so was Palpatine, that they could create force storms that could just basically be the size of the planet and just cause ungodly destruction on it. Some people could just do it locally, some could do it, you know, a little bit larger scale, but that's what force storm was. And it was a nasty one to have. Last one I do want to cover is Force Drain. This is also known as Life Drain or Dark Healing. This is an ability that allows the user to siphon vitality through the force to weaken their opponent for one, and at the same time to enhance and make themselves stronger. So they would weaken their opponent with force drain, and they would get stronger from it. Vitiate's very, very well known for this as well, because a lot of Sith had force drain. They would just do it because that's why Sith could live a long time. They would take the basically the vitality through the force of the person. And the stronger the person was in the force, the more they got from it. But if you did it enough, like Vitiate, you would gain life back, you would regenerate, you would live longer, you would get stronger in the force, depending on the level of the force drain that you're doing. So yeah, that was a nasty one to have. The next one's force choke. That's pretty self-explanatory. That's just basically telekinesis, but you're focusing the force just to basically cut off the airways to someone when they're trying to breathe. We've seen Darth Vader do that a million times. It's pretty simple, but that's more of a telekinetic thing. And what was the other one I wanted to cover? Siphon from the force, or sever force. This is an ability that both sides had, where you basically use the force in a way to basically cut off somebody from the force. You literally are so powerful in the force, you sever a person's connection at a microscopic level through the midichlorians, where you cannot use the force again. The greatest example of this is Nomi Sunrider against Ulic Qel-Droma. A lot of people through history had severed other people through the force, and it's a nasty ability. The Jedi, it was like the oh shit button. We got to do this. I don't want to do this because I know the ramifications, because cutting someone off from the force is all life creates the force is in their abilities. It's bad. But the Sith, they did it willy nilly. They do it all the time, you know, to punish people. You know, it's like, I don't want to kill you. I just want to cut you off from the force and make you a weakling. And now everyone go beat his ass, you know, the kind of thing, you know? So that's what force, sever from the force could do. And those are some of the abilities that you can do with force powers and the different philosophies. And then other cultures and groups had their philosophies and could do a lot of stuff with the force. There's affinity with animals. There's affinity with nature. You know, there's affinity with all kinds of stuff that you can do with the force.
Did you mention drain life and death field?
Yeah, we did that. I just talked about that. Dark healing.
Those are nasty.
Yeah, they're very nasty. You could create, Valkorion could create, if you're powerful enough, could create literally a shield around you where you couldn't be hit by anything, blaster bolts, lightsabers, that kind of thing. I mean, the force allowed you, if you were strong enough and you practice enough and you had the affinity for it, you know, through hard work and effort, there was no limitations. There really wasn't. You know, depending on how much you trained yourself in the ability, what your affinity was for it, and there was no limitations on what you could do with the force. And some are unnatural abilities, yes. And that's because people could, you know, like especially the Sith and some of the dark side users would use it for unnatural reasons and unnatural things, which we discussed about with Sith sorcery. But, you know, to enhance yourself, enhance your reflexes, enhance your combat, manipulate your environment, manipulate those around you. The force can let you do a lot of things. All right, Kashmir, you've got that look of, you've got some questions on your face there, buddy. Let's go to you as we start wrapping up this one. We'll let the idiots ask questions and have our final discussion on force powers. So Kashmir, throw them at me, buddy. What do you got?
All right. Well, I mean, I don't remember what it's called, but is it like the you have to practice for like 10,000 hours and then that's when you become the master or something?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, like if you're going to be a great guitar player or something like that, you usually have to, like they say, you have to practice at least 10,000 hours to really become a great.
Oh, sure. I don't know what
so that's. I'm just wondering if that's what they had to do, like, you know, like Vader was there going like this 10,000 times before he actually was able to start really becoming being able to choke people across the planets and stuff like that.
Well, so yes, practice makes perfect, but the more of an affinity and connection to the force with that affinity you had, for instance, you could be naturally good at something. Like you could be a natural athlete or you could be naturally good at whatever, right? Music, mm-hmm. whatever it is. But to make it even more powerful, you had to practice. So yeah, Vader probably could easily force choke, but to choke through space and time to another ship like he did in Empire took lots of practice, you know. So and his strong connection to the dark side and his affinity with the Force. So yeah, you had to develop it beyond just what you could naturally do. You know, again, you can be a natural athlete, but if you want to be a great baseball player, you got to practice at, you know, swinging and swinging and swinging again until you get tired, and then you swing some more, pitching where you throw pitch after pitch after pitch. So, Karth?
What's up?
You were making faces.
Oh, I was just responding to myself, to the commentary around me. But yeah, no, it's interesting to see how a lot of the Force powers are thought of, because I think that was like some of the biggest advantages to the Sith and setbacks to the Jedi is the same thing, is that the Sith, you know, if you could master it, you could do it. There was no limitations. Only you were your only limiter in what you could learn in the through the Force. Where the Jedi was like, hey, you see that whole part of the library over there? Yeah, that's the restricted section. And only people we deem worthy, which will be arbitrary at best, get access to this information. The rest of you just, you can't learn about it, you can't touch it, you can't do anything with it, because it will lead you to the dark side. And it's just like, hold the phone. we could probably reiterate this a little bit more clearly, because it's just interesting that a lot of things that they saw as, you know, unnatural, which some of them were, you know, outright, you know, raising the dead and some of the other harmful stuff where the power's only ability was to harm somebody, you know, they just kind of whiffed it, I guess, in that opinion.
The Jedi with their control and their philosophy,
patience
and all those kind of things would lead them to victory most times. Again, the Sith's undoing was that they just didn't have any control. You know, the dark side would consume them, because this lust for power, the power would consume them. Power corrupts absolutely. If you didn't have control, that's why.
Yeah, part of it was.
Yeah, it's that's why the Sith would naturally fail. It was, take on more than they could. They thought that they were invincible.
They're hubris. Yeah. Well, and the unfortunate part of the Sith is, and that's why you see like the Sith that reign for a long time are Sith that take the light side of the Force very seriously, right?
Yes.
Because they understand it's the yin and yang. You got to have both and you got to understand both. But like a lot of Sith would downplay the Jedi as weak or whatever else, because they wouldn't aggressively fight them on the battlefield. And partly because the Jedi knew that, you know, they weren't going to win those fights the majority of the time, because you had somebody who spent their entire life training for that versus somebody who's, you know, yeah, I've used my lightsaber before, right? Yeah. And so it's a very interesting dynamic to have, but like the more successful Sith that always took it in combination, where the Sith that failed a lot were the ones who just thought lesser of the Jedi and the light side of the Force. Yeah. They always thought it as inferior. It's like, well, my connection to the dark side will prevail. Like, well, sorta.
In the Legends book, that's why they get back to the unifying Force theory, that the Force is neither light side or dark side. It's just a thought that it's just the Force. And yeah, there's positive and negative, the yin yang kind of theory. I mean, the Jedi, we talked about them in the previous lore video, believed in balance. Bendo.
Yeah.
That you had to be balanced in the light side and the dark side to be a Jedi. You know, one wasn't more important than the other. And that if you were out of balance, if you were too hard in the dark side, you had to spend time on the moon to gain your balance back into the light side. You know, both sides mattered to the Jedi. It would be interesting to see if they had not, with the Rakata invasion and everything that transpired and the first great rift that happened because of it, right? Where the galaxy would be with the Jedi, because the Jedi would have been the perfect warrior. They were the perfect warrior. They were balanced between the dark side and the light side. They were incredible. That's why they kicked the shit out of the Rakata. The Rakata, you know, they were just heavily in the dark side with all their powers and techniques, and the Jedi like, hold my beer. You're easy to defeat. Well,
and we see that come back around a little bit with right now it's canon. It's not canon, it's legend stuff, but like with Kyle and Luke leading the next Jedi Academy, that was a lot more of their philosophy was, you know, it's balance. It's all about controlling yourself through both, not giving yourself too much to one side or the other, because it clouds your rational thinking no matter which way you leaned into, because you know, the pacifist does nothing, but the warrior only leaves destruction. You know, you got to walk a path between the two. You know, it reminds me of a couple of quotes, but anyways, I find it interesting that a lot of things come back through the Force is about harmony and balance, not necessarily about domination or just pacifism. It's you got to have both, because you can't, it's weird, because it's right, you want to be a fence sitter, but at the same time, the reason you have to be in the middle is so that you can understand both and act accordingly, not just sitting and doing nothing. So it's interesting how they kind of be in the middle, but don't be in the middle.
Well, that's why, you know, Revan's one of my favorite characters in the Star Wars mythos, you know, because here's a guy that mastered Jedi Master and a Dark Lord of the Sith, the Dark Lord of the Sith, besides Vitiate. That's why he was so ridiculous in what he could do. And he had a philosophy on it that, you know, the Force is what you do with it. You know, your actions are your own. You know, if you want to use the Force, what you use it for. If you use Force lightning, as I said, to save someone, you're not tapping into the negative energy and suffering the effects that you say if you're using it to torture someone to death. You know, there's a different effect that has on you. Ram, your thoughts, questions, stuff as we start wrapping up on Force powers, things of that nature?
So was there, I feel like I've seen this somewhere in like Legends or something. Was there a way, I know you could, the Force surrounds every living being and all that. And was there a way to like imbue that kind of like Force energy into like an object or an environment or something?
The Sith did that all the time.
They would imbue objects and all that stuff, right? Yeah,
amulets. Remember, most of they would do their own spiritual essence. That's why Sith were tied to their tombs, because they would tie their spirit self to their tomb until later on, where some of them learned that you could just traverse the galaxy as a Force entity and just go take over somebody, right? But a lot of times when you would visit, you know, objects would have like serious dark side shit to it, you know, a lightsaber, an amulet, you know, something, you know, holocrons were like that too. It would have the essence of the person entrapped inside of it. So you could imbue objects with the Force, with your knowledge. It could be used for destructive purposes. It could be used to enhance yourself or, you know, whatever you want it for. But the Sith mainly did it. Jedi too. The Jedi created their own Omicrons to pass on that knowledge that was imbuing objects and stuff. The Sith were just into that shit. You know, they were all about, you know, they had this Sauron kind of mentality, like, I'm going to pour all my shit into all these objects and have it in case I need it when I'm going to battle kind of thing. You know, and then when I die, you know, someone, I can corrupt somebody else with either my actual spirit or some kind of object to, you know, when we had that example where Exar Kun and Ula Kul Drummer were fighting and they both had those Sith amulets and they were so in tune with the dark side, it set it off and Ragnos popped up and said, all right, dumbasses, stop fighting. Listen to what I got to say. But that literally was something that the Sith would create that could do, you know, summon a spirit, summon the dead. You know, summon some
like holocrons and shit like that.
Yeah, but they could actually bring spirits back. They could do rituals to bring Sith, you know, with the dark side to bring the spirit of somebody back. You could do that on the light side. Luke actually went to the realm where, you know, he met up with Jason Solo, you know, after his fall and death from Jaina, before he went and fought Abeloth. They had a conversation, you know, so yeah.
Okay, so what Sith spirit do you think was imbued in that stick?
Your mom. Darth Mama Rambam. Karth, you had something you wanted to say?
Did I?
Yeah, that looked like your hand up and stuff.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe. Things stuff? Popcorn.
Anybody else? Any final thoughts from anybody else then? We'll start wrapping up. Any final questions or thoughts on Force powers? Besides the goddamn stick.
I mean, we finally have an answer. We finally know that the stick.
There was nothing in the stick.
Had some kind of
it
force power.
It did not have any force
power.
No,
you just said they could have used it. You don't know.
There was a Jedi, and he did not, as far as I've read through the canon, ever have anything associated with powers with stick. So.
But it would make so much sense.
No.
I mean, Ram, things that make sense to you are just...
For normal human beings, does not make sense to yes. Yeah. Yes, your brain operates on a different level.
This is why I'm qualified to be on Lore with Idiots.
Because you are definitely an idiot. You definitely have brain damage. That is absolutely science. Science has come through. Cash, any final things before we get out of here?
I'm allowed to ask questions about Starforge.
Eat a dick. Just crawling my ass, man. Okay. With that, we're going to wrap it up. So,
Grandmaster Yoda make the Starforge?
Yes, he did. Yeah, go tell that to some Star Wars nerds and see what happens.
Hold on, let me write that down so when I do my video.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, if you like this stuff, make sure you hit the thumbs up, subscribe. Again, leave comments on it. Again, we cover just some basic general thoughts, philosophies, force powers. There's way more out there. But let us know what you guys think in the comments. If you're listening to this on the podcast, make sure you leave a review and also, you know, leave star ratings and stuff that helps out with the series. And so, yeah, this is a weekly series. This is one of the things that we hit our Patreon goal. If you'd like to support the content we're doing, go to the Patreon linked in the description. You can become a Patreon member. You get the lore series early, that kind of thing. So let us know what you guys think. And we'll be back next week with another lore video, and it's going to be a big one. So we're going to I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's going to be huge. So get ready for huge, unbelievably huge. So with that, everyone have a great rest of your day, and we will see you guys later. Peace out.